Hi, I'm Kathy Benner, passive income mentor, and today this is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. We're all about health and wealth. And I am a firm believer that your health comes before your wealth. And so today we're going to be talking all about health. Now, to find our information, I do have the Kathy Benner International Academy, and you can find me at kathybenner.com. And you can scroll down all the different lanes. And one of the first lanes that you'll see is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. So check it out. And all of our replays are there too. You can see the little blue button with all the replays. So that is about me. And I'm going to turn it over to Rita and let her tell everyone a little bit about her.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for being here. I am Rita Brewer and I am the co-host here at Fit as a Fiddle Plus with my awesome co-host Kathy Benner. I've been a clinically practicing physician assistant for 33 years and my life revolves around health and wellness. I have a big passion for metabolic health and helping people with type 2 diabetes reverse that because it absolutely is a preventable and reversible condition. So I have a diabetes reversal formula health coaching program that I utilize with my clients, and we just love talk about all things health and wellness. So tonight is a fun little different what we normally do. Instead of having an outside guest, we're actually going to be focusing on my co-host tonight, Kathy Binner. And let me tell you a little bit about her. So she is the founder of the Kathy Binner International Academy. She is a passionate advocate for the idea that health comes before wealth. And her outlook on life changed when she encountered a profound quote from the Dalai Lama, who remarked that people sacrifice health to make money and then sacrifice money to buy back their health, ultimately missing out on truly living. So this message really inspired Kathy to embark on a journey toward better health. And after experimenting with various diet plans, she found success in intermittent fasting, which is a lifestyle that has really helped her achieve lasting wellness. So we're going to dive into her story tonight and intermittent fasting and all about that. So we're excited to have you. So Kathy, tell us, give us your background and explain how you started your quest for better health.
Wow, that's huge. First of all, gosh, I was always kind of petite, back in the day. I remember when I was 16 getting my driver's license, I looked 12 and I hated it, of course, at the time, because when you're that age, you want to be grown, And my mother kept telling me I was going to appreciate it when I was in my retirement years, but when you're that young, that's not even on the radar. So, but as life went on, I really didn't hit a brick wall until I was old enough to go through menopause. And Rita, I know you run into this all the time that, once a female goes through menopause, the hormone levels change and, you see all the cartoons. The guys are always skinny and the girls are always fat. And so it's one of those things where I hit a brick wall. It didn't matter what I did, I just couldn't lose the weight. So that was my first issue. And of course I have a sweet tooth, as many of us do, because they put sugar in everything we buy these days. And it's very addictive. And so that's also a struggle. And that was been a struggle all along. But for me, I had finally found financial success in the salon industry. And once I was in the salon industry, you try to tell yourself, that it's going to be okay. But I think we all know when it isn't. I remember being, the first time I walked into a salon, and the smell of the hair dye and the perm solution and the acrylic and the acetone, it kind of hits you. And what happens is, once you're in that environment for many, many months or even years, it's like your brain adjusts to that smell. Like that place is supposed to smell like that, and you no longer smell it. It's like somebody that, works in on the chicken farm, and they can just pull up a crate and have lunch, and everybody else can't stand the smell because we're not used to that, to it smelling like that. So anyway, we do get immune to the smells. So over time, and again, that's why this quote hit me so hard that Rita was talking about by the Dalai Lama, because I just made the decision. I'm staying here. The money is so good, and so many women, are in this industry and they're not sick. So why am I even going to worry about it? And then, of course, I never colored my hair. I didn't put dye on my hair. I didn't wear all of the, chemicals on my nails until I got into the salon industry. And then, of course, it was just such a natural way to function. And the new girls were like, "Can we practice on your hair?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's just hair color. Go ahead." So I've been red and black and brown and not green, not purple, but I was red for a while. And again, you don't think about it when we go to the doctor and they, like if a smoker wants to stop smoking, they give them a patch, So what is it when you're putting that hair dye on, and now you're going to sit for 30 minutes with that hair dye on, or you're putting chemicals on your nail plate, or worse than that, in the acrylic world, because acrylic nails were all the rave, that we've kind of, for those of you that know about acrylic nails, we've kind of transitioned a little past that these days. There's still a lot of acrylics out there, but now gel nails are the big thing. But the way to get the nails off is you soak in acetone. Well, I met Mark, who was a retired industrial arts teacher. He had acetone locked up in a metal cabinet in his shop because it was dangerous. We're soaking in it. We've got 20 women in a row with their fingers in acetone. He's like, "What?" He's like, "That can't be right." He goes, "There's something wrong with this picture." And I'm like, "No, it's what we do every day. Don't worry about it, but I couldn't help but worry about it. And then to top it off, I did that for 25 years, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, times 25.
That's a lot of toxin exposure, and a
That's
lot of
a ton.
people don't even realize too. It's like, well, if I just walk in, but I'm not touching it, I'm not getting my, even if you're not getting your nails or your hair done, you think you may not be exposed. But the second you smell it, you are exposed, right? Because
Absolutely.
the fumes that you absorb into your nose then goes into your brain and your systemic circulation. So we are all exposed. The second you smell it, the second you walk by that candle store at the mall, and that you don't even have to walk in and the smell comes wafting out at you, that's all chemical toxins that we're absorbing into our bodies and then eventually into every organ system of our body.
And the mask that they provided, at that level, we needed to have, the fireman mask on to actually protect ourselves. But we put the little paper mask on and we go, well, I'm wearing a mask, I'm protecting. And not really. I mean, even the particles were getting through, not only just the smells, but the particles were still getting through those masks. So anyway, as my world unfolded and as I knew that I needed to do something different to retire, and Deepak will know this part of the story, is then I decided I needed to do something different. So I started thinking and exploring and investing in real estate so that I could make a transition. But even then, it still took time to make that transition of me, buying some real estate so that I could start to cut back on the number of clients that I was doing to try to move myself out of that environment. But in the meantime, I was there. I was, but then my shoulders started to hurt because I'm doing the same movement every day, and then my neck, and then my lower back, because I'm sitting and I'm doing the same, and I'm looking down, I'm doing the same thing. And most recently, I had gone to a chiropractor just to jump ahead a little bit, because I was having some joint issues, again, which is on that whole spectrum of rheumatoid and lupus and all of that autoimmune. And so he said, well, let's do some x-rays just to see how damaged the joints are. And he did one of my neck, and I kid you not, my neck from sitting doing nails 20, 25 years, all those hours, my neck looks like just a pile of bones. It doesn't look like a normal neck is supposed to look. And so now I'm, doing some physical therapy on my own with, with the neck stretcher, whatever, to try to get my neck back into the correct pattern. And of course, I've got ringing in my ears, which is caused by the neck not being in alignment. So I have all those things going on. And I just said, am I really just gonna stay here and go down with the ship? Am I really gonna do that? And while I was talking to the doctor, who oftentimes when we meet folks, they have a much clearer vision of the direction we're going and the shore than what we do when we're in the middle of the ocean. And he said to me, "Wouldn't it be a novel thing if you quit right before I cut you all up instead of right after? Because either way, you're going to quit." He said, "If I do shoulder surgery, elbow surgery, wrist surgery, neck surgery, whatever it is that you cause damage to yourself," he said, I'm going to have to surgically try to repair that." And he said, "You can either quit now and we can do some physical therapy," or he said, "or you can wait until I do all that surgery." He said, "And then you're going to quit," because he said, "You won't be able to work after all those surgeries." He said, "Wouldn't it be a novel idea if you quit first?" And I thought, why am I being for the money? What's the point?
That's great
So if
that you said
anyone is
that
listening to this, yes,
too.
if anyone is listening to the replay of this, take heed. It's not about the money.
Yes, amen. Amen. So then you said that you tried almost all so many different diet plans to achieve the weight loss goals that you were trying to achieve. So what was it that you tried, and how did you end up with intermittent fasting?
Well, first of all, I'm just shocked that I have to be this old to figure out how all of that works. And then I mentioned it to my real estate partner, who is Kyle, Deepak knows Kyle. And Kyle just started quoting stuff off the top. I said, "How did you know all this?" And he goes, "Doesn't everybody?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't. I didn't know all this." So what happens, again, I'm sitting behind the nail table 25 years, all those hours, and you're eating the wrong stuff, you're eating at the wrong times. You take a little break, more and more. I mean, we were busy. The salon I worked in, I owned the salon on top of it. So that was harder for me to quit because I owned the joint. But while I was sitting there, working away, the girls would have junk food back in the dispensary. We had like a little break room back there, and it was just all junk food, chips and pretzels and nothing that really had any substance to help your body, fuel your body. It was all just to keep you from being hungry. And so, you go back and grab a handful of something and go back, because we had over 200 women a week coming through the salon, week after week after week after week. I mean, it just kept coming. And so I just kept gaining weight, because I was eating wrong times, wrong stuff, wrong place. So I tried, first of all, well, I'm just not going to eat. How many of you out there listening have said that to yourself? I'm just going to not eat. I'm just going to start skipping some meals. Well, that lasts a few meals, and then you just go, okay, well, this isn't working. So you throw that out the door. And then you go, okay, I'm going to just do low calorie. I'm just going to really count calories. So then you can get on the Weight Watchers, or you can do the keto, or you can do the Atkins. You can try, the low fat, the high fat, the low carb. And I don't care where you look, somebody has a different version of what you should be doing. They're all out there. Oh, try this. This worked for these folks, or try that. And so you end up trying all this stuff and none of it works, for very long at least. Or if you are making it work, it is a tremendous amount of effort. I mean, I did make it work in my 40s, where, because I was starting to get into real estate, I knew that I was going to try to make a transition, and I decided I was going to get healthy along at the same time. And so I was counting calories, I was weighing my food, I was making sure that I burned so many calories walking on the treadmill every day. And I mean, it was a huge, 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 huge amount of effort for just a small little teeny tiny bit of success.
And a lot of stress.
And so I didn't realize it until I ended up learning about intermittent fasting, and that was what I needed to learn.
So how did you start? Because there's lots of different ways to fast, right? So how did you start yours? And were you eating healthy food, or were you just eating anything you wanted during that window? How were you working that?
Well, at first, when you're talking about intermittent fasting, again, I didn't know what I didn't know. So at first I was like, well, I don't eat. I'm not one of these midnight eaters. I don't get up in the middle of the night. I mean, I know folks that get up in the middle of the night and go have a snack. I'm not one of those. And so I thought, well, I'm already doing that, you know, so how come this isn't working for me? But what I had learned, or I thought I had learned over time, you know, over all those years, was well, you know, you have to eat, you know, just eat a smaller meal, and you have to eat like every 3 or 4 hours, you know, eat more often, but smaller meals, and then you'll be healthy, you know, then you'll be healthy, and again, I learned at that about that time I needed to somehow reduce the inflammation in my body. I was struggling with, you know, with the joint pain, and the, you know, I was having joint pain in my toes and in my knees and in my back. And then, of course, because of doing nails for 25 years, I had the pain in my neck and shoulder and all that. So I knew that I had inflammation. And then when I finally left the salon industry, and for those of you who don't know this, my nails have all these like little ridges in there. That's a huge signal that your body has inflammation. So if your natural nails feel like a little miniature washboard, that's inflammation in the body. That's your body's way of, you know, a doctor will notice that and go, let's see what's going on in, with the blood work here, because they can see a symptom there that you know, you have some inflammation. So I knew I needed to reduce my inflammation. So at that point, I was learning about fasting, and it was like, well, you need to get into autophagy. Well, I didn't even know what, I didn't even know how to say autophagy. I didn't even know what autophagy was. And so that's when I started researching. And how many folks have never heard of that? So I don't
Yeah,
know.
let's talk about that tonight because I'm sure a lot of people don't. So, yeah, can you explain that relationship between, because now that you know all of this info, share with everybody, you know, the relationship between fasting and insulin, ketosis, and then autophagy and how they all work together to
Well, and
promote.
again, that's why I said, why do I have to be this old to know this, to figure this out? Because the information has always been there. I just didn't know to go find it. I just didn't know to go look it up. And different folks around me, they were like, oh, I'm doing, you know, my fasting this morning, and I'm having butter in my coffee. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't have any idea what they were talking about. So I finally went on a search, and what I discovered is that as soon as you eat, of course, no matter what it is you eat, your body produces insulin, and that's what your body is supposed to do. And then, of course, that's where Rita comes in on folks that have diabetes, because they're not getting the proper amounts of insulin, or they're eating way too much for their body to offset with their insulin, but they're out of sync. And so that's the first thing that happens. And so what I was doing, and of course, you don't have weight loss, you don't have, you know, you're not into ketosis, and you don't have autophagy while your body is in the insulin mode. So for me, what my first aha was that about the time my body was ready to leave the insulin mode, I would eat again. And then here comes the insulin again. And but I didn't eat very much, because I was counting calories and I was weighing all that food and I was walking, you know, 4 miles a day. But then I would eat again, and here would come, you know, the insulin again. And so what I learned was I needed to fast long enough that once I ate and the insulin went through its cycle, I needed to fast long enough to get out of the insulin cycle into the ketosis cycle. And once I got into the ketosis cycle, then my body was starting to burn fat. That's where the weight loss was starting to happen. And so now a lot of folks, they stop right there. And that's okay. That's not bad, you know. And they would get into the ketosis phase, and their body is burning fat for fuel, and so they're losing a few pounds here and there because they're getting into the ketosis. But if you can hang through ketosis and get into the autophagy stage, that's where the good cells start eating the bad cells. Now, for those of you that are listening maybe to this replay, and I'm not a doctor, so, you know, this the phases that your body goes through is different for everyone. So I'm just going to give some general timelines. Your body may not switch from one phase to another at the exact same timeline. And I'm not sure mine is, because I don't know how to really tell what's going on at a cellular level. But I know that at least I'm giving my body the best chance to get into those different phases by fasting longer. And so what happens, and all of us have heard about gals that mostly gals, the guys too can do this, but it's mostly gals that get into the phase where they become anorexic. And so what is happening there is that they're getting into the autophagy stage, but they're not eating even then. And once the good cell, because your body will, and this is the beautiful thing that Rita already knows, is that your body will try its very best to survive no matter what you do to it. It
That's right.
will work as hard as it needs to work to try to survive. And so with these gals that get that end up becoming anorexic, they get into that autophagy stage where the good cells are eating the bad cells, but then they don't eat again and break their fast and come back into the insulin stage. They stay there. They keep telling themselves, I still look fat. I still look fat. And then all of a sudden, their body starts eating itself, its own organs, to try to survive. It's trying to get fuel from somewhere. And that's why they go, oh, somebody that's anorexic, their organs start to fail. Because the body just can't survive after all that time. They're literally starving themselves to death. And so don't get stuck there. Don't think, well, if I don't eat all that time, if I just don't eat longer, it'll work better. No, that's not true. So don't get stuck there. But if you can get into the phase, the autophagy phase, you will start to feel a difference in your body. You will start to see a difference. And then losing weight is just a side effect of the fasting, if that's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, our body, like you said, our body's always working on behalf of itself, no matter how much we torture it. It's always trying to fix things. So our body has innate ability to just clean out the damaged cells, right? Because not every single cell in our body is healthy. It has a lifespan. And as those cells start to peter out and get damaged and not produce, they're just hanging around in our body, taking up space, causing fatigue, and not allowing us to be fully energized. So autophagy is that process where our body just it can break down and eliminate those old damaged cells and mitochondria, and give us a fresh start. So that phase allows that to happen, which is awesome. So how did you first start getting into fasting? I mean, how did you know that, okay, well, I tried all these other things. Like, how did you incorporate that in your lifestyle?
Well, I met some folks that were doing it, and that's helpful. And we always hear, oh, surround yourself with the folks, that make you feel good about yourself, that's in your corner. And as I was watching these folks, they had everything I wanted. They had they looked good, they felt good, they were positive, they were doing gratitude journals, they were fasting, they were just doing all this the lifestyle that I really enjoy. And so I just kind of observed, and I didn't really recognize maybe at that time that I had to see it first to know exactly what was happening, but I did. And I just once I saw the big picture, I was kind of like, oh, I get it now. I get it. So I started small. I just started with 12 hours. And because at 12 hours I was going to get at least through the insulin stage. And so I started with 12, and of course the best way to start 12 hours is to do it overnight. And I don't get up in the middle of the night and snack. And so all I had to do was kind of cut out my evening snack and maybe push my breakfast a little later. And all of a sudden I could go from like 7 to 7 or 8 to 8, or even 9 to 9, and I could do 12 hours pretty easy. So I did that for a while. And of course I wasn't getting into ketosis. And I certainly wasn't getting into the autophagy, but I was just getting used to taking control, learning to take control of my body and not just eat every time I felt. And oftentimes when we feel hungry, I think sometimes if you just go get something to drink, you're not really hungry, you're just thirsty. But we feel like, oh, we want to put something in our mouth, something that's got some flavor. So we go and get a candy bar or some bag of chips or
Drink
whatever. And
water
so
first. Yeah.
I think it's just having that realization that I'm just not going to eat anything for 12 hours. I can do this.
Yeah.
And once I realized I could do that, I thought, oh, maybe let's try to do the 14. Let's try to get into ketosis. And so then I started doing the 14 and I started to lose a few pounds here and there. And I'm like, ah, okay, I can do this. Well, then the toughest part, and Rita, I know that you know, I am all over the place. I'm constantly doing networking groups, and I do a breakfast one sometimes. And then Mark and I are ballroom dancers. That's how we met. And so then we would, do a formal dinner. Well, dinner doesn't even come out till 7. And then by the time we have the main course, it's 8. And then by the time they bring the dessert, it's 9. And so, it was a real problem because the world just wasn't getting on my bandwagon with me, and so I had to learn how to maneuver that. I had to learn that I could go to a breakfast meetup and that I could have black coffee. I did not have to order a breakfast. Now, the first time I did that, it was a little hard when everyone around me was ordering these big, beautiful breakfast platters, because we were at a restaurant that's it's a breakfast restaurant. It's, and I love breakfast foods. And of course, I've never met a carb I didn't like. So that's one of my problems. But I had to be able to tell myself that my health is more important than joining in with the crowd. And not that anybody even said, aren't you going to eat? Or here, have some of this. Nobody was pressuring me. It was my own pressure. And I had to come to terms with that I am not going to starve. There's food on every corner. If I feel like I have to eat, I can stop and get something to eat on every corner in the United States. There's food everywhere. Every filling station has food. And I wasn't going to starve. And so I just kind of had to come to terms with that. But one of the main things that I realized, and here's where I went wrong at first, is that I love my foo-foo coffees. I love my little foo-foo creamers, my little hazelnut, And what occurred to me when I wasn't getting the success that I wanted originally was that I was breaking my fast too soon, even though I was telling myself, well, I'm just having a cup of
It's
coffee.
coffee,
But
right?
I was putting the creamer, and I'm not putting sugar in it. I wasn't starting the insulin process, but yes, those creamers have enough sugars in them automatically inside the creamers that I was breaking my fast too soon. So I had to learn, I had to study, I had to learn, and then I had to practice. And I had to learn and practice to drink my coffee black, and now that's how I prefer it. So for those of you that said, oh, there's no way I could do that because I want my coffee in the morning with my cream and sugar, you can practice and learn to not break your fast if being healthy is more important to you, which it was to me.
And then did you stay with the 14-hour fast, or did you go to up to 16 from there, or 15?
Oh, I wanted to, once I learned about autophagy, I wanted to get into the autophagy. So I now, and I started practicing in February. So all the way from February, as a matter of fact, I just did my measurements the other day, from February to April, because my last book launch was in April, and I made up my mind I was going to lose a few pounds before my book launch because I knew I would be on stage and speaking and book signings and all that. And so I did manage to go from like 196 down to like 175 by the time from February to April. But I still wasn't getting into the autophagy stage. I was getting into the ketosis stage, but I wasn't getting into the autophagy stage. And so I still had, some inflammation that I could tell, but I was feeling better. And when you start limiting the number of hours that you're eating, you start paying more attention to what you're eating because, and that just happens naturally. If you sit down and go, okay, what I'm going to eat right now is the last thing I'm going to eat for 14 or 16 hours. You're thinking, do I really want the piece of chocolate cake? Or do I want to fuel my body to get through the next 14 to 16 hours? And so I found myself choosing better quite as a side effect. It wasn't like I was trying to beat myself up, and I was still having a bite or two of the chocolate cake if I really, was kind of craving it, but it was more out of habit than out of a craving. It was more like everybody else is eating chocolate cake, so okay, I'll have a bite or two. But I was realizing that I was losing my taste for that sort of stuff naturally, just
Right.
because I was focusing. So to answer your question, that was from February to April. I was getting some success with the weight loss, which is quite the nice side effect. I was feeling better. I wasn't having the cravings that I had before. I was able to go to breakfast and not order a big breakfast because I wasn't ready to break my fast. I was choosing better my last meal of the day because I knew that I was going to go 14 or 16 hours. So then fast forward to now, and so we're just now at 7 months from when I started, and I am down 44 pounds. And I am down, oh gosh, let me think, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm down a total of 16 inches overall. I went
Wow.
from a 1X to an extra large to a large, and today I'm in a medium
That's
in women's sizes. And that's the side effect. And yes, today, since I started practicing, I am now at 18 hours. And
Wow.
so I am getting, now I don't always, and again, I have to say this to those that are listening. I don't know the magic. I don't know if at 14 hours you go from one phase to another. At 16 hours, it's different for everybody,
Yeah.
you know? And
I
I'm
think it's
thinking,
17 when the autophagy kicks in. Yeah. I read a really great book. Anybody wants to dive more into fasting, Dr. Mindy Pelz, Pelz. She wrote a book called Fast Like a Girl. So she talks about women's fat and fasting too, because for menstruating women, we do want to fast with that keeps into account our menstrual cycles. Because, for example, like the week before your menstrual cycle, you need to have a little heavier carbohydrate load, not junk food carbohydrates, but more like root vegetables, maybe some sweet potatoes and tubers and things like that. So you don't want to be so strict with your fasting when you're still menstruating. So yeah, that's fantastic, Kathy. I'm so happy for you. And for how do you feel? I mean, with that much weight off of you, and how do you feel?
Well, let me tell you a couple of stories. The first story is while I was still at the salon, I had gone to the dentist, and the dentist, he said, "You know, your teeth are in great shape." He said, "You don't have any cavities, everything looks great." He said, "But you're getting some pockets around in your gums." And he said, and they always say this at your age, you know, he says, "I really would hate for you to lose your teeth." So he said, he said, "I want to do what's called a deep cleaning." And he said, "And what we're going to do is we're going to go up between the root and the gum, and we're going to scrape." And he said, "And that will hopefully put the blood flow there and tighten those pockets up." He said, "That's our goal." So I said, "Okay." So we did that. And I had to pay a little extra for that, but not much. I go back later and he says, "They're not getting any better." He said, "So I'm going to send you to a specialist." And he said, "They're going to do a laser treatment, and they're going to take, and they can get deeper up between the root and the gum." And he said, "They're going to laser all of that, but it was going to cost me $3,000. Well, what's losing your teeth going to cost, you know?" So I said, all right. So I did that. So I did the laser treatment. So now he said, "We want to add to where you're coming to the dentist 4 times a year instead of twice a year," because he said, "We want to keep an eye on those pockets." Now, they weren't getting any worse. The laser treatment seemed to, in their minds, work. And they said, "Well, you know how when they test those pockets, you're a one or a three or a five?" They said, "When you get up to a five, that's when we start to get nervous that we need to get it reversed." They go, "We like things to stay under a five." And they said, "And in a perfect world, under a three." And I had fives. I had number five pockets. So now I'm doing this fasting, and I'm not thinking about my teeth, but I mean, I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm flossing every day, and I'm doing everything that, that the doctor said. Hold on just a second. And can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, I did everything that the doctor said. I was flossing, I was brushing, I was doing all that stuff. And they kept saying, "Yeah, you're fine, you're fine, but your pockets are still a five, so you're good." They were happy with that. And so now I'm just not paying too much attention, and I go back for just one of my 4 times a year checkups, and the hygienist went, "Huh, And of course, I panicked. I was like, oh, great. I bet they're getting worse and they're going to send me for another $3,000 laser treatment. And Deepak, you know, I'd rather buy a house. If I've got 3 grand in my pocket, I'd rather invest that in another property, not put it in my teeth. And so then she calls the dentist in and he went, huh. And I'm thinking, oh, great. I said, okay, what's it? He said, no. He said, what are you doing different? And I said, I'm not doing anything different. I'm, you know, I was on the defensive. I'm doing everything you said. I'm brushing, I'm flossing, I'm in. And he goes, no, he said, your pockets are at a three. And the only thing that I did different is I was doing the intermittent fasting and I was getting into autophagy at least 5 out of 7 days.
Because when you were overweight and insulin resistant, or I think you were even pre-diabetic, you told me, right?
Yes.
So, and now how's your A1C?
Oh, it's normal. I'm in the normal ranges. Yes.
Like low fives, high fours.
High four last time I checked.
That's fantastic. Yes, because it's those blood sugar levels, right? Because when the blood sugar is elevated, it starts to wear down and it increases bacteria in the mouth and it infections, gingivitis, all that breakdown in the gums. So yeah, the health really does start in the mouth. And sugar affects every system, from our brain to eyes to mouth, all the way down every organ. Blood sugar is going
Yes.
to affect all of that.
And people don't realize that. And it's not sugar. They're like, well, I don't eat a lot of sugar. Well, it's not about, I mean, it is, but it's not about just eating the sugar. It's everything we eat puts
Right.
sugar in our bloodstream. So,
That's right.
choices are so important.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about how you're keeping track of your food intake. Are you still tracking calories or protein intake? Because a lot of people, will go even so far as to just do one meal a day. We call it the OMAD diet, one meal a day, right? And for some people that might work, but for most people, it's really hard to meet your body's especially protein intake, right? Because we want to shoot for about 30 grams of protein with each of our 3 meals a day. So for most people, it's really hard to get 90 grams of protein in one sitting, right? So, and then of course, the smaller you make that fasting window, the harder it is to fit that those nutrients in as well, especially being such a busy person that you are. So how are you managing or tracking that for yourself?
Well, thanks for bringing that up because that is an issue for me because once I started to where I was just eating within a 6 hour window, and in a perfect world, I try to stop at 7 in the evening and then I eat again like at 1 the next day, and then stop again at 7. And so I don't always, sometimes I will adjust that up and down depending on what events I'm going to, and especially if we have like a formal event where there's a formal dinner, I have to adjust that, to later in the evening. But then I try to wait longer the following day, and then I try to just inch it back into that format of just 1 to 7. So that's in a perfect world, I could just be 1 to 7 all the time. But anyway, I break my fast with something small, but I always have something that has protein when I break the fast, but just a couple hundred calorie meal. And then I try to eat a nice balanced dinner wherever we go. And yes, I do slip. And sometimes if Mark will get a one dessert between us, I'll take a couple of bites and then hand it over to him. Because I just want the taste of it more than I want to eat the dessert. Now, in a perfect world, again, I would like to just eliminate that altogether. But the other night, yeah, he got a slice of cheesecake and I had to have 4 bites because it was really good. So I don't deprive myself, but I do try to keep it within that 6 hour window. However, I did notice that I was having a little bit extra hair loss than normal. Of course, my weight has come down from February until now, 44 pounds. And so that is, I'll say, a shock to the body to change that amount of weight. And so, I did talk with my medical doctor, and my medical doctor knows that I'm doing the fasting and endorses all of that. But she wanted me to add a nice multivitamin to my diet plan because she said, I just don't know. She said, if you're keeping track of the protein, she said, I just don't know that you're getting enough vitamins in the rest of your food.
Minerals as well,
The, yeah, all of the vitamins and minerals. And she said she felt that I was maybe a little bit low on some of my B vitamins, but I felt pretty good. But anyway, she had me add that, and that everything just was normal after that. I had more energy, I sleep better, I'm out walking, I'm doing all of those things.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely the most important way to get our nutrients is always through our food first, right?
Right.
So, and then that's why we call the supplements are called supplements, because they're meant to be a supplement to your food, right? Because food is the
Yes.
number one medicine. And B vitamins, especially B6, B9, B12, extremely important for our body's detoxification pathways and mitochondrial function, your energy production, that ATP, that's our energy source produced in our cells. So we definitely want to keep up with those B vitamins. So animal proteins are the most rich in B vitamins. So yeah, definitely keep track of that. But you're using an app to track your fasting. Does
Yeah,
that
it's called Fastic, and I got it on my phone, and it's just called FASTIC, Fastic, and you can program in there, not only your weight loss goals, but you can also, you put your height and your weight and what you'd like to weigh, and then you can set it up with how many calories you want to consume a day if you want to count calories, but then you can also put in. Because it's called fasting, so it's for fasting. So you can put in your different fasting schedules, if you will, and in the app will actually pop up a notification, and it'll say you are now entering into ketosis. And so right about the time that you're out with your friends and they're like, "Hey, let's get an ice cream," and your phone dings and you look at it and it says you're entering into ketosis, it just gives you that extra little incentive to go, "I think I'll pass." You know, yeah, I think I'll pass.
Oh, so how did you incorporate movement into all that? And I was wondering, how were you feeling like when you're fasting until 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Are you doing any exercise in the morning? And how do you feel when you do that?
Well, first of all, most of you know I run a guest house in my home. So guests check out at 11, and that I don't have another round that checks in until 3. So from 11 to 3, most days, I am flipping rooms in the guest house. And everybody said, "Oh, why don't you hire somebody else to do that?" And I said, "You know what? It does a couple of things for me. Number one, I love to read, and if I were left to my own devices, I would never actually sit down and read a book because I would always feel that I had work to do. I shouldn't be reading. I should go do my work." So it gives me the opportunity that I can load up a bunch of audiobooks in my Audible. And so I look forward to flipping the rooms. And what it does is it allows me time to listen to my books. I probably go through 2 or 3 books a week. And I'm up and down the stairs and I'm making beds and I'm folding comfort, and it's, again, it's physical therapy, but it's me staying active doing, and Mark will help me if it's a quick turn, if we have guests coming early or whatever. But I actually enjoy looking forward to my afternoon of just getting the rooms ready. And like today, I shampooed carpets, so I'm taking this carpet cleaning up and down the steps. So I'm lifting weights and, with carrying carpet cleaning machines, and I'm carrying laundry up and down, and I'm moving beds back and forth, and I'm doing all of that on a daily basis. And so somebody says, "When are you going to quit with the guest house?" And I said, "When I can't do it anymore," because it keeps me active. And it's one of those things when, yeah, how many of us sit down and we go, "I know I should put in 2 miles today, but I've got work to do, or I don't feel like it, or your day just gets away from you." Well, when I have guests knocking on my door, I know I've got to have those rooms ready. So that in itself is an incentive to keep me moving. But I do like to walk. So the other side of that is I have a motto to walk a 5K every day. And when people think about, "Oh my gosh, a 5K every day, I have to train to walk a 5K," when somebody's doing a fundraiser. Well, not really, because it takes about 20 minutes for the average person to walk a mile. And if you just walked for 20 minutes after breakfast, if you're eating breakfast and not fasting, or if you walked again another 20 minutes after lunch and 20 minutes after dinner, you would have done a 5K just walking for 20 minutes 3 times a day. So it's not hard to do. And I sometimes do it all at once. I sometimes do it 20 minutes at a time. And it doesn't matter if you do it in time segments or all at one time, your body still gets the good effects from walking a 5K every day. So that's my motto.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you're, still doing the work, with flipping the beds and stuff like that too, because the strength training is so critical. I mean, that's a conversation that is really challenging for most of my patients, I find. It's because, especially if I treat a lot of women do not like to lift weights in general. Most women, we just kind of have this mindset of like, well, I don't want to be a big get big muscles and look like a bodybuilder. And it's that whole mindset around that, but we don't realize how important it is for us to maintain our lean muscle mass. Lean muscle mass is everything for longevity, for our brain health, cardiovascular function, insulin sensitivity, weight loss. I mean, you name it, strength training is necessary. I mean, it helps to reverse Alzheimer's disease. So walking is wonderful, and I encourage people to do their walking, but we've got to do the strength training as well. And if you can incorporate it in your day-to-day living activity and you don't even have to go to a gym, that's even better, right? Because I mean, most people are sitting at a desk all day long on a computer, and not doing any kind of strength training whatsoever. So I would highly encourage you, as long and if you enjoy it and you're still able, keep doing it. Like you said, that's
Well, and
fantastic.
again, it's my quiet time where I get to listen to my books. I can just, put in my earbuds and I can just work for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm almost disappointed when I'm done, because I'm like, oh, I'm done with the rooms and I wasn't done with that chapter yet.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. I'm wondering if Deepak and Sherry have any questions. You guys want to unmute and feel free to ask any questions that you may be thinking about. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Deepak.
Okay, thanks so much for sharing this information here, Kathy and Rita. I recently heard one interview where they're saying that fasting, I don't know if it produces or enhances or it facilitates stem cells. And the person who had an example where she did longer fastings, where her, I think, I don't know what part of her body was hurt, like she had some cartilage issues, and she healed just through longer fasting. And I've done longer fasting in the past. I've done like 7 days, I've done 7 days water fast, and it was tough. And then I have a question here, but I try to I fast on Tuesdays. Like it's 24 hours fast for me. I do eat on Tuesdays. I eat after say around six or in between 6 to 8 in Monday, and try to not eat until 5, 6 p.m. Tuesday. But when I fast, I kind of feel a little I feel like I don't have enough energy. And then I feel like I need to get like start this intermittent fasting. So what suggestion, Kathy, do you have for me at this point? Like I try to do on Tuesdays, like I said, but it's a longer fasting, and like right after noon or so, I can start getting really weak, kind of weak, and try to eat things. And then after 5 or around 6, when I get off fasting, I tend to eat a lot. Like I grab snacks and those kind of things. And then the other what are the things that we should avoid, or what that breaks the fast, like coffee or some like
Any,
what?
yeah, any anything that starts the insulin production is breaks the fast. because then you're back into the insulin stage. And so I just did some research on that. And I said, you know, I kind of just started Googling, you know, what breaks, you know, a fast. And that's when I learned that even my little tiny creamer pod that I was pouring in my coffee in the morning was probably had enough sugars in it that it was breaking my fast. And so even though I was telling myself, oh, I just had liquids today, so I'm still fasting, I probably was not, because there was too many sugars in that. So anything that, and from what I read, anything that's over about 30 calories, just as a rule of thumb, probably has too many sugars for that to be considered something you can have during the fast. And my creamer had 36 calories, and it was those extra six calories. Now, again, there's no science. I mean, unless you can take it to a lab and actually break it down and look at it, but that's just the rule of thumb. And so I would say to just stay away from anything that would put you back into that insulin portion of your fasting.
Yeah, but so as far as, go ahead, Kathy, finish.
Well, I was going to say, when I first started, yeah, I was a little shaky. Even the first time I went 12 hours, I just kept thinking, I need to eat breakfast. I need to eat breakfast. And it was like, no, I'm going to do this thing. And it was, my body had to kind of adjust and get used to it. So the fact that you're just doing this on Tuesdays and going for a full 24, it could be that you could get the same effect if in fact it's not for a religious reason and it's for your health. My guess is you could get the same effect by maybe getting more into a pattern and fasting 16 or 18, you know, on a daily basis instead of trying to do 24 once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely we're working into it a little slower. So there's three macronutrients we have, right? We have carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Carbohydrates are going to spike your blood sugar the most, which then spikes your insulin. Protein will also give you an insulin spike. Healthy fats are going to keep your blood sugar more level. So I've done like unsweetened coconut milk in my coffee and didn't have a blood sugar spike with that. And because I work with diabetic patients who oftentimes will use a continuous glucose monitor, that's a great tool if you wanted to check to see if you are getting a blood sugar response that way. So you can monitor that. But I definitely agree with what Kathy said. So, you know, I would recommend trying easing into the fasting a little bit slower, because 24-hour fast is not easy to do when you're not used to fasting. So work into it gradually. Do the 12 hours, then 13, 14, 15, 16. Gradually, your body adjusts to it, and then it gets easier. But for those longer fasts, like 24 hours or even 18, you want to be hydrating really well, but also replenishing electrolytes too. So a zero calorie electrolyte beverage, not with artificial sweeteners, but just any natural sweetener that will not cause a spike there. So yeah, the electrolytes are important to avoid feeling lousy, getting what we call that keto flu, right? That's the symptoms of the keto flu, and you get lightheaded, headaches, and you just, you know, feel awful. But a lot of people who do longer fast too will sleep a lot too. Go take naps, drink plenty of fluids, take your naps, and not maybe necessarily on a day when you've got to work all day and have presentations and things like that. So yeah, ease into it a little bit slower and allow your body that adjustment period.
Yeah, early on, I did take a few naps. I can remember thinking, I'm just so tired, you know, and so I kept thinking, you know, what's the deal? You know, why am I struggling with this? But I discovered, you know, when I was tired, I would just take a nap, and that was okay. But then eventually, I think it was when I finally started getting the multivitamin in, you know, the supplement in with my diet. And so now what I have to do is decide what foods do I need to eliminate versus what foods do I need to add. And one of the things so that I could eventually eliminate the vitamins and just get all of my sources from my food. But one of the things that I was concerned with, which some of you might be, I didn't want to be that girl. We all know that girl. when you go out to have a ladies' lunch and she's like, oh, I don't eat that because I'm being healthy, you know, and it makes everybody else feel like, was she telling me that I'm, you know, this big slob or something because I am going to eat it? Because people don't know what they don't know, and they're not in the same place as you. And so I was concerned about that as well, because I am coaching, and I am, you know, I do have a tribe that I'm leading. I do, you know, go on calls like this. And I didn't want to be that girl that came across as being some snobby health nut. You know what I mean? I wanted it to be a lifestyle that I could actually embrace and continue with. And so that was a struggle for me.
Yeah. But like you said, it's important to surround yourself with other healthy people who are doing what you're doing and they understand the benefits and they understand that, you know, your health is important and you want to feel the best you can possibly feel. So surrounding yourself with those people who are, you know, health nuts like the rest of us, you know, it really helps.
But I want to be able to blend in, you know, just in the masses, and not come across as being really snobby. And there's some ways to, now again, the anorexic girls have it down to a science. They can put everything on their plate and push it around and make it look like they've had dinner and not eat a bite. And so I'm not telling anybody to be anorexic, so don't take this wrong, but there is a way that you can participate in those breakfast and lunches and dinners and not come across as being the snobby health nut that, oh, I wouldn't touch that because I'm being healthy. And so sometimes, you know, if somebody goes, oh, here, try this, and they put it on my plate, I'll go, oh, well, thank you. And having a bite of something, as long as it's within your window, isn't going to be that detrimental. It's not what you do occasionally, it's what you do every day that becomes the habit that's going to affect your health. And so, you know, when we do go out to one of our formal dinners, I accept a dinner just like everyone else. I may choose to not eat certain things that are on the plate, but that's okay. And what I've discovered is that if I don't make a big deal out of it, nobody notices.
And you don't have to be perfect every day either. So if you're used to wanting to fast till 1 o'clock on most days, but you're having that breakfast that day, maybe you, and then you're wafting, getting the aromas wafting, and now you're getting hungry. So have a keto-friendly meal, you know, have an omelet, you know, and that's still healthy, you know. So you don't have to be so regimented because we want to be able to enjoy life and have balance as well. So I think that's really important not to be so strict, and then it stresses you out too. So.
So I try to get into the 18th hour at least 5 out of 7 days. And then a couple of days a week, if I break my fast early or I have a dinner that's already scheduled late, you know, I don't beat myself up about it. And again, I found that I'm just choosing better now that I realize so much more how it all works together. I am just making better choices when I do put food on my plate.
Well, I applaud you, Kathy. You've done a fantastic job. And this was a great conversation. I love talking about this stuff. Sherry or Deepak, if you have any other final questions before we wrap up, please feel free to unmute and ask them now. I'm Rita Brewer, and I've really enjoyed this conversation. Metabolic health is my passion. If there's anything I can do to help you on your journey, if you want to reverse your diabetes or prediabetes, struggling with weight loss and intermittent fasting is not doing it for you, and you need other support, reach out to me at ritabrewer.com. All my social media is there. You can get on my mailing list as well. And I'm also a functional medicine practitioner as well. So sometimes we have a little more complicated issues going on. We can be
Yes.
doing all the right things with nutrition and fitness, but we have, you know, more complicated issues. Maybe we've got autoimmune issues or gut health problems that need to be resolved before we can start to see results or hormonal imbalances. So please feel free to reach out to me, and I'd love to help you. You can book a free call with me on my website as well, ritabrewer.com. Thank you guys so much for being
Yes.
here.
Perfect. And you can connect with me at kathybinner.com. I put that in the chat, and I will also put that, and I'll put Rita's website in the replay so that anybody can tap in and connect with either one of us. But at kathybinner.com, there is under the Fit as a Fiddle Plus, you will see a button to go to all of our replays, and you can listen to all of our interviews that we've done over the last couple of years. And Rita, thank you so much. I appreciate this
My
opportunity to share.
pleasure.
And Deepak, thanks for being with us. Sherry, thank you for being with us. And we're looking forward to seeing how many replays we get, how many clicks we get after we upload this. So thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Okay,
Thank
bye-bye.
you. Bye, everyone.